Support for this broadcast of Two Rivers 30 Minutes comes in part from a grant from Striffler's Family Funeral Homes.
From TubeCityOnline.com, this is Two Rivers 30 Minutes, a weekly series of interviews with people making news around the McKeesport area. Produced by Tube City Community Media Incorporated, a nonprofit corporation. I'm Jason Toger, the executive director. On this show, we talk one-on-one with elected officials, community leaders, and others who are trying to make a difference in the Monyonk area. And we also take your questions and comments on Facebook and Twitter at Tube City Online.
Is there a man, woman, or child in the United States who does not love Dolly Parton to death? I think even people who are not country music fans love Dolly Parton. And one of her pet causes has been literacy. She created the Dolly Parton Imagination Library, which serves people all over the country, including zip codes right here in the Mon Valley and in the city of Pittsburgh. One of the local partners, and they go far beyond just partnering with the Dolly Parton Imagination Library, is Reading Ready Pittsburgh. They recently opened a reading room. On the line with us right now is Mark Seppi. He's the outreach coordinator for Reading Ready Pittsburgh. Good morning, Mark.
Howdy.
I hear discussion in the background. Sounds like a busy time. Sounds like people are visiting your facility.
Well, people are in the office right now. So, So our bookstore on 8th Avenue, it's not just a bookstore, but that's where our office is as well.
Okay. We are coming into the summer months, and I know one concern for a lot of parents and teachers and librarians and everyone else is once school is out, how do we keep our kids, our sons and daughters, and our nieces and nephews and grandsons and granddaughters, whoever else, from their brains going to mush all summer long? So talk to us about some of the programs in general that Reading Ready Pittsburgh offers.
Okay. Well, just a little bit about us. Reading Ready Pittsburgh is an early literacy nonprofit, and we support the healthy development of young children by increasing access to books and by encouraging family engagement through reading. So that takes a lot of different shapes. We participate at community events and give away free books to kids. We host the Dolly Parton Imagination Library, which sends free books to children up to the age of 5, a free book per month until they turn 5. We have a parent texting program that 3 times a week, parents will get like tips and hints and tricks about how to engage their children around reading or literacy or even school topics like math is in there. We have the free bookstore for children on 8th Avenue called B is for Books. And it's not a library. It's a bookstore. You walk in, each child can take 3 books. No questions asked, no money exchanged. We are constantly doing community outreach programs. We have a poster campaign, a little bit like a Got Milk campaign, but instead it has, I'm looking at them right now, it has, you know, local families reading with their children with messages on the bottom, like children become readers on the laps of their parents. Children reading can happen anywhere, anytime. So we just are just trying to get the message out to parents that reading is an essential part of the development of not only their child's brain, but like family connection. So any opportunity where we can do that, we try to do it.
Can you give us your website for more information?
Sure. It is readingreadypittsburgh.org.
Well, that's easy enough to remember. And what's the phone number?
We don't have an actual mainline phone number.
There is a phone number on the website. I was wondering if that's the right one to.
That is probably the correct one that goes to our program director. So 412-352-7488.
Okay. So for those of you who are not super web savvy, and we will give that information out again later on in the program for anyone who's in the car or something, readingreadypittsburgh.org, 412-352-7488. They are at East 8th Avenue, 222 East 8th Avenue in Homestead. What is that near for a landmark for people who may be taking the bus or driving there?
There's a Valero gas station. It's next to Dorothy 6. It's next to a new Central American restaurant called Los Gallitos.
Okay.
What else is across? What's across?
So you're right on the 61C and 59 bus lines. I mean, that's very easy to get to, right by the couple blocks from the waterfront.
That's correct. Yeah. And I believe the 61C is going all the way out to McKeesport these days. And all the McKeesport residents can just hop the 61C and end up right in front of our store.
Reading Ready Pittsburgh is a relatively young organization. When did the organization get started?
Yeah, so it started somewhere between 2017 and 2018 as just sort of a retirement project of our executive director, Mary Dennison. She was a school psychologist for many years and she retired. And I guess she chose not to slow down. So she started the nonprofit Reading Ready Pittsburgh. And it was sort of slow moving for a couple of years. And of course, the pandemic slowed everything down. But in the past 2 years, I would say it's really picked up. And I started here a little over a year ago, and even in that 1 year, I can't believe just how much we've grown. It's just astronomical.
We're talking with Mark Seppi. He's outreach coordinator at Reading Ready Pittsburgh, readingreadypittsburgh.org, there at 222 East 8th Avenue. We often on this show somehow end up talking about career paths for people. So what was your career path to Reading Ready Pittsburgh? Were you always interested in literacy? Were you always interested in libraries, English? What was your path?
Sure. Yeah. So I started off as a high school English teacher. And then I moved to Pittsburgh and joined up with AmeriCorps and learned how much I loved social services and nonprofits. And so since then, I've bounced around and then I went back to school to be a reading specialist and did that for a bit. And then when I saw this job posting, it just really stood out to me and I applied for it the day it got posted and I eventually got hired. And since then, like I said, we only opened up our free bookstore back at the beginning of February. And so it just feels wonderful to be on the ground floor of that. We are an organization of four paid staff. So we have a certified children's librarian on staff who handles all of our book requests and book donations. We have an elementary educator who's our program director, and we have another elementary educator who is our program coordinator. And then we have our executive director, Mary, but she is just a volunteer ED.
One thing that I see often on, there's so much negativity on social media, for instance, Facebook, Twitter, or whatever they're calling Twitter these days, Instagram. And one thing I often see, especially from older folks, is that, well, nobody reads anymore. Kids don't read anymore. What's been your experience as an English teacher and now working in the literacy field? Seems to me they sure do sell a lot of kids' books, considering if kids aren't reading anymore.
No, sure. Yeah. It's funny, because you could say the same thing as about adults. I walk past a bench and an adult is on their phone. And so I don't think it's fair to pick on children. And also it's not fair to pick on children in that who's putting the phone in their hands? It's their parents. It's the adults. So it's kind of a little hypocritical, I think, to say children aren't reading, but that's neither here nor there. Children are reading. We just had a homeschool family come in. They come every single Thursday and they are just so psyched to be here. Our very first day that we were open with the bookstore, we had a homeschool family come in and that was like their field trip for the week. And they said, when one of the kids leaving, they were like, "This is the best field trip I've ever taken." So kids read, and yeah, basically that. It's like kids read. I see it. Perhaps with COVID, progress has slowed down a little bit. We're seeing that in literacy testing scores. But no, kids are certainly reading. But like anything in a digital world, it's not just, it's not this dichotomy of like either you're on your phone or you're in a book. It's a bunch of everything. But no, books have not gone away. Children's books, I think, if you look at the publishers and if you look at what's being published, are just really out of the dark ages. I think children's books in the 80s and the 90s, while there was a lot of quality ones there, sort of lost their aim. And now in the 21st century, there's a lot of really great stuff going on. It's not just like books about Fraggle Rock anymore. They're talking about deep things, about a parent who might be incarcerated or having two parents of the same gender or whatever it may be. There's a lot of progress being made. And I think children, and since children are growing up so fast, these days, it's great to have resources out there for them that is not just rumors on the internet or whatever it may be.
Well, and it's easy, and we have a break coming up here, but it's easy to bash the digital or whatever, but you can read an ebook on your tablet or your laptop. We've had the librarians from McKee Sport and Homestead and Braddock all on this show, and they've talked about how you can borrow ebooks from the library. So during COVID, I know a lot of people were doing that because some of the libraries were not lending materials, but they sure as heck were lending them online. So digital can be a blessing too.
Certainly. And I think a lot of people have a misunderstanding about what reading and literacy is. Literacy is not just reading a book. Literacy is seeing a street sign and reading that. Literacy is reading the nutritional facts on a cereal box. You know, reading, it takes so many different forms, and there are so many different purposes of reading that I think if we get sort of lost in the weeds of like reading is only when you open a book or you crack a book, then it's easy to say kids aren't reading anymore. But when they open a phone, you know, they're reading like Twitter comments or whatever it may be. So that's all, it's all reading.
It's all consumed. The question is, does it have any nutrition? Readingreadypittsburgh.org is the website there, 222 East 8th Avenue in Homestead, 412-352-7488 if you Sprechen telephone. Broadcasting from the Tube City Center for Business and Innovation in downtown McKeesport, this is True Rivers 30 Minutes. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Support for this broadcast comes from Striflers Family Funeral Homes. Since 1866, Striflers has provided compassionate, professional memorial services for families in White Oak, McKeesport, Dravosburg, Portview, and the surrounding areas. Striflers offers comprehensive pre-planning services and aftercare. And through its affiliated company, Design Monuments, Striflers also provides permanent markers and memorials crafted in stone, bronze, and other high-quality materials. Learn more at Striflers.com. or call 412-678-6191.
Mark Seppi is our guest. He's the outreach coordinator at Reading Ready Pittsburgh. It is a nonprofit that focuses on literacy in Western Pennsylvania for school-age kids. They also have a bookstore, but you can't see. I'm putting that in quotes because the books are free to local kids. They are just limited to three at a time. And that is at 222 East 8th Avenue in Homestead, readingreadypittsburgh.org. They also have some events coming up that we're going to talk about in a little while. Mark, you mentioned your career path was as an English teacher and then into AmeriCorps and then into the social services field where you are now at Reading Ready Pittsburgh. What did you read growing up? Let's turn the tables on you. What were you looking at when you were a kid?
Oh boy, some of my favorite children's authors are still some of my favorite children's authors today. And when I go to a thrift shop or an estate sale or a bookstore and I see them, I always pick them up to give them to friends. So anything by Tommy DePaola, he wrote Stregonona. He has a really fun science book about clouds. Virginia Lee Burton is an old classic from the 30s and the 40s. She wrote The Little House and Katie and the Big Snow. Mike Mulligan's Steam Shovel, Richard Scarry, I really love, like his Busy Town, just like opening up a Richard Scarry book was always so much fun to me because he has such a fun sense of humor and he labels every single thing that you see in the book. So those were a lot of my favorites. You know, through middle school, I read Goosebumps and Animorphs and stuff like that. And then in high school, you know, I became Serious Mark and, you know, was reading like Camus, The Stranger and whatever else I was being introduced to in high school. But
I'd have been more worried if you were like 4 or 5 and reading Camus.
Well, you know,
how about H.A. and Margaret Ray? My wife is going to want to know if you read any H.A. and Margaret Ray.
No, I don't think I'm familiar.
Curious George?
Oh, duh. Yes, yes. No, I wasn't ever a big Curious George fan. You know, I grew up in a baseball family, too, so there was always baseball books around and stuff like that. Yeah.
Well, you're off my wife's Christmas card list. Mark Seppi is outreach coordinator at Reading Ready Pittsburgh, readingreadypittsburgh.org. What's the importance of it? Well, let me back up here. What is the current state of the art in terms of when should children first start trying to read or looking at words or trying to sound out letters? How soon should they be exposed to that kind of stuff?
Oh, wow. Well, there's a huge movement just about introducing your children to books and anything literacy related the moment that they're born. And it seems really silly to be reading a book to a baby who's not understanding you whatsoever, but they are picking it up, you know, whether they can have a dialogue with you or whether they're sophisticated enough to say the words back to you. It's a moot point. You know, you should be reading to your children at birth. And that's why Dolly Parton's Imagination Library starts sending books to children who were less than one. You know,
so
you can sign
so
up at
they're picking up the sound, even though they don't understand the words that you're saying. They're picking up the sounds, they're picking up the rhythms of it, of the inflections. Probably the just like animals, cats and dogs can pick up the emotions in the words. They're probably picking up the emotions too.
Absolutely, yeah, and just the human connection of holding a baby in your arms and reading to him or her. So yeah, start as young as you can and just keep with it. There's just so many statistics that out there that show that the earlier that you start, the more successful that they'll be in life. And clearly there's a plethora of other like systemic reasons why a person might be successful in reading later down on the road or not successful. But the best thing you can do as a parent or a caregiver is to start early and read often.
We're talking with Mark Seppi from Reading Ready Pittsburgh. They've got an event coming up in Braddock in a couple of weeks. We're going to mention that, so stay tuned for that if you'd like some information. We're also going to talk more about the bookstore that they have on East 8th Avenue in Homestead. And I know, Mark, you have been traveling throughout the Pittsburgh area and throughout the Mon Valley region, working with the local libraries and with local schools, parents, to bring the literacy programs out into the community. So I want to ask you a little bit more about your experiences there. When I was a kid, and I think I'm just a little bit older than you, but when I was a kid, I would have been reading, you know, Mad Magazine and Cracked. And, you know, I can remember my poor suffering mother, you know, sort of buying these things for me very grudgingly, but saying, you know, you're going to rot your brain. Your brain's going to fall out. And I see kids now reading graphic novels or comic books. And I think moms and dads and aunts and uncles probably say the same thing. You're going to rot your brain. I remember my grandmother, like, you know, rolling her eyes, seeing me, you know, oh, why are you reading this trash? She would say, is there such a thing as trash, or is it all kind of grist for the mill when you're learning how to read?
I mean, you get a lot of different answers depending on who you ask. Okay. You know, as a reading specialist, I believe that any reading is better than no reading at all. And I do think that we are living in a more visual world as well. So I love graphic novels still as an adult. I loved reading comics as a kid. You know, I don't think that there's anything wrong with reading a graphic novel, and especially given that they can portray such sophisticated stories. You know, no 5-year-old or 6-year-old is going to be reading Mouse, but like graphic novels are literature. And you have to think, like, if this is the way we can get kids reading, if you can't just give them this like dense tome or something like that, they're not going to read it. But if you give them a graphic novel, then they're going to read it. So I think we have to meet people where they are, whether like, and that's just true for life in general. You have to meet people where they are. And so if you have to put like a little bit of sugar in the Cheerios to get the kid to eat it, or a little bit of sugar on the carrot to get the kid to eat it, that's fine. I mean, the graphic novel does the same thing. If that's the language that is speaking to that child at that point in their life, then let them have it. You know, you go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead. No, I'm sorry. I was gonna say, I have friends whose kids have devoured the Daft Pilkey, Captain Underpants and Dumb Bunnies and what's his other one, Dog Man, books. And they're all kind of silly and crude in some places. But my understanding is they kind of then spark a lifelong love of reading then. That, hey, exactly. I can read for fun, and I can read something that makes me laugh. Like, school books don't make me laugh, but Captain Underpants makes me laugh.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's reading comes down to comfort too. So if all of your experiences with reading are traumatic or are not fun, then any other time that you're going to be encountered with a book that could be engaging and fun to you, you're going to have an automatic reaction to say, like, no, I don't like reading. So yeah, introducing books to children based on their interests is the best way to get them to keep reading. You know, when what I was reading as a kid, or let's say I'm a kid now and I'm reading Captain Underpants, I'm probably not going to be reading that as a 30, 40, 50 year old, but I'm going to remember and cherish those memories of like, wow, you know, I really enjoyed reading. This is when I learned to love reading. And yeah, you'll continue reading.
Mark Seppi is Outreach Coordinator of Reading Ready Pittsburgh. They're at 222 East 8th Avenue. That's about two blocks from the Homestead Grays Bridge, right there on 8th Avenue, right there on the bus route. You can find out more information at their website, readingreadypittsburgh.org, or you can call them at 412-352-7488. They're also on Facebook and Instagram. From the Tomb City Center for Business and Innovation in downtown McKeesport, this is Two Rivers 30 Minutes, and we'll be back in 30 seconds to wrap things up.
Support for this broadcast comes from the City of McKeesport Fair Housing Office. Fair housing is your right, and the Fair Housing Act prohibits discrimination in housing because of race, color, national origin, religion, sex, gender identity, sexual orientation, family status, or disability. That includes renting or buying a home, getting a mortgage, seeking housing assistance, or engaging in other housing-related activities. For more information about Fair Housing Act protections in the City of McKeesport, call 412-675-5020, extension 635.
Back for a few more minutes with Mark Seppi from Reading Ready Pittsburgh. So who funds Reading Ready Pittsburgh? Because, I mean, you're giving away books. Right? I mean,
sure,
Barnes & Noble has Amazon have a whole business model built on selling books, and you guys are giving them away. Who's eligible, first of all, to get a free book from your bookstore?
Sure. Okay. So there are absolutely no income requirements to be a part of any of Reading Ready Pittsburgh's programs or to come shop at B is for Books. If you are a kid or a family, you can just walk right in and grab three books. No questions asked, no money exchanged. Because everybody needs books, you know, regardless of your income limitations or non-limitations, as it were. So who funds us? Well, a lot of the books that we get are gently loved and and new.
Okay.
So we will get book drives from local schools or social clubs or whoever really wants to do a book drive from us. So we just have thousands and thousands of books to give away. I mentioned Kathy, our librarian, earlier. She is a stickler about what books go out on the shelves. We make sure that they're good books that, for the most part, you can't even tell that they've ever been cracked. And sometimes they haven't been. You know, for all good intentions, sometimes you buy a book and you just don't read it. So we get a lot of donations from the community. We do fundraising from community as well. We don't ask. So all of our all the people that we serve in our programs, whether it be in our early learning, the early learning centers that we partner with our Raising a Reader program or pre-Ks or kindergartens, we do not ask those parents to give us money. Mm-hmm. So we do send out mailers to say like, hey, you know, Giving Tuesday is coming up or Give Big Pittsburgh's coming up. And we get money from small donors that way. And we're also writing grants constantly. So we get money from the Department of Children's Initiative, who helps us with the bookstore, other philanthropic families and funds and stuff like that. So yeah, we are just getting money and books from all sorts of places. But I just want to reiterate again.
And what ages in general do you
serve? Oh, so
kind of danced around that a little bit.
Yeah, no, our original mission was birth to five, but and then we have gone to birth to eight as far as some of our programming. But the bookstore, we have books, baby books, board books, all the way up to YA, and even some books for parents. We have parenting resource books. We just have regular novels for parents who come in because we realize, and we want book shopping to be fun for the entire family. We want children to come in and see their parent or caregiver say like, oh, I'm going to take this book. Why don't you take a book too? So again, it's all about family engagement for us.
Let me lean into that a little bit because we touched on this before we took the second break. Mark Seppi, who's outreach coordinator for Reading Ready Pittsburgh, is our guest this morning for a few more minutes. What is the importance of reading for pleasure and reading for fun and for kids getting into that habit? Because I have friends who are my age who do not read for pleasure at all, even a nonfiction book, even a whatever. They have no interest in that. It always kind of surprises me that, like, you know, you're into cars or you're into sports or and you don't read a book once in a while about sports or about cars. Kids, you know, I'm putting myself into the mindset. I don't have kids, but I'm putting myself in the mindset of someone who might have small kids and say, well, they read all day at school, but they're reading school books. They're reading textbooks, sure. and no one's getting a chuckle out of a textbook. How important is it that to instill that understanding that you can read for fun too?
Well, you know, kids are wound up. So reading for pleasure is very relaxing. Reading is also a way for us to learn empathy. And I think that's true both for adults and children, especially. It allows us to experience lives that we will never be able to experience. It takes us around the world. It takes us into every single person's shoes that we can imagine. You know, we can only be ourselves, but the way to learn from other people's experiences is to read. I'm sure you can listen to interviews and whatever, but there's something about reading where you are making the story happen. You know, I don't want to get like too nerdy into like what's going on cognitively or even about like space time or whatever, but you open a book, that book, it's sort of like if a tree falls in the forest and no one's there to hear it, doesn't make a sound. It's the same thing with a book. You know, it's like the story doesn't happen until you make it happen. And so like creating or allowing these lives to be lived and engaging in their lives and sharing that life as you're reading that book, again, it makes us more empathetic people, understanding people. It allows us to, yeah, experience lives that we can't, depending on where we are in our own lives.
Let me ask you a little bit of a controversial question, and hopefully I'm not getting into a sensitive subject here, but we've had, like I've mentioned, we've had a lot of librarians on this show, and we've talked about book bans and about parents complaining about access to certain kinds of books. You mentioned that you do, there are children's books now that address what happens if mom or dad went to jail, what happens if I've seen violence in my neighborhood, what happens if I have a family member who is gay or trans. Have you had any pushback like that at Reading Ready Pittsburgh? And if so, how do you deal with it?
No, so we have not. We have received some feedback from like a single parent that was signed up for Dolly Parton Imagination Library who felt like some of the books might have been too political for what they wanted their children to read.
Okay.
But unfortunately, we don't send out the books. You know, we pay for the program for kids. We host the program, but we don't pick out the books. But we have not experienced really any pushback about books. When it does come to books about like our parents going to jail or whatever it may be, we have a section in our store called Tricky Subjects. And so parents know, so parents know right off the bat, it's like, these are the books that, you know, might require some contextualizing and some and explaining with your children.
Just steer them away from that to the other books.
Yeah, you know, I have my own personal opinions as an educator about it, but we are not in the business to get political or anything like that. You know, we just like love children and we love families and we want what's best for kids and families, and that's engaging through reading. And sometimes that could be a really positive engagement and sometimes it could be like a really difficult engagement. And that's why we have our tricky subject section.
And I assume the kids have to come in with a parent who has ultimate supervision over what kind of books they're picking.
Sure. I mean,
or grandparent or aunt.
Yeah. No, like 5-year-olds just coming in off the street.
Just wondering, getting off the bus, wandering in off the street. Yes. Mobbed by 5-year-olds, very precocious 5-year-olds who are looking for Camus books. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. No, we have some teenagers who come in after school. You know, they just like pop in just for something to do and they'll take a look at our books and they might pick up a YA book or something like that. But other than that, children are supervised when they come in.
We have just a minute or two left. Tell us about the event that's coming up on July 1st at the Braddock Civic Plaza, or June 1st, I think it is June 1st at the Braddock Civic Plaza, that is a music themed event. Talk to us about that.
Yeah. So for the past couple of years, we've had a day either in May or June called Braddock Literacy Day. And we partner with the family centers and the library and other community stakeholders in Braddock to throw just an event, a celebration of books. And every year there's a theme. So last year it was community helpers. And we had like barbers and firefighters and other community helpers come out and read books with the kids about their professions. This year it's a music theme. So it's Bring In the Beat, Bring In the Books, I believe is the tagline.
Okay.
And that's, and that's June 1st at 1 p.m. at the Civic Center in Braddock, right there on the main drag across from the Free Store. We'll have story times, we'll have music workshops, we'll have live musicians, snacks and games and activities. It'll just be a great family fun event.
Mark Seppi, thank you so much for taking some time to talk with us. Hopefully we'll have you on again, and people may see you soon at some event in their community.
Absolutely. It was my pleasure. Just getting the word out about what we're doing, and especially the bookstore, is just our number one goal. So thank you so much for your time.
And well, thank you. And thank you all for listening today to Two Rivers 30 Minutes, broadcasting from the Tube City Center for Business and Innovation in downtown McKeesport. On Radio 81 WEDO, 1550 and 101.1 WZUM, the Pittsburgh Jazz Channel, and Tube City Online Radio. So long for now.
You've been listening to Two Rivers 30 Minutes, copyright Tube City Community Media Incorporated. Opinions expressed on this program are not those of Tube City Community Media Incorporated. Listener support makes this program possible. If you'd like to make a tax-deductible contribution, please visit our website at tubecityonline.com and click on the donate link. You can also get a free subscription to this program and other podcasts at our website using Apple's iTunes or Stitcher.com. If you've got a question or comment, we hope you'll write to us. Our address is Tube City Community Media Incorporated, P.O. Box 94, McKeesport, PA, 15134. You can email us at tubecitytiger@gmail.com or call us at area code 412-614-9659. And you can find us on Facebook and Twitter at Tube City Online.